This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
The Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive month rolls on, and if you missed it, we put up two episodes from the 300 exclusives on patreon.com/kindafunny over the weekend on YouTube. Check them out, and if you like it, toss us $10 on patreon.com/kindafunny to get the other 298 plus pieces of content.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about if the Red Dead Redemption port does anything for us, if this is the best PlayStation Plus month ever, and we're putting Blessing at Adeoye Jr. on trial. We'll have all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Blessing. That's Janet. I'm Greg, and you can get this show on patreon.com/kindafunny. There, you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive content. If you have no bucks to toss our way, don't worry about us. Support us on the Epic Games Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code KINDAFUNNY. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the exclusive content on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Liquid IV, but let's start with a PSN message from you, Barrett. What? God damn.
Oh my God.
It's Jeff Jarrett's music, and Jeff Jarrett's on the screen right now. Jeff Jarrett, why are you on the screen?
Greggy with a double G. Yeah, here we are on PS. Hey, Greg, it's not I love you, XOXO. It's I hate you, middle finger. That's double middle finger to you. I have had it up the... Look, I'm back in Megacat Studios South in Nashville, Tennessee. The office is up in Pittsburgh. We are working around the clock only because of you. We should be not just basking in our glory, but strutting in our glory. But Monday, we came out, we took all your glory, you got all hot and bothered, and somehow, some way, you, Greg, not Blessing, this has nothing to do with you, sir. Janet, nothing to do with you. This is just you, you prick. You have caused the delay in WrestleQuest.
You nearly paralyzed me with a guitar, Jeff! I couldn't feel my legs for 2 minutes!
We had the problem fixed before it even got started, but no, you've got to weasel your way in and get lawyers and get litigation going. And I can assure you this, pal, I'm going to make your life a living hell. Every show you do, look over your shoulder, look over your left shoulder, over your right shoulder. You have no idea where I'm going to pop up, because I'm going to make your life a living hell. Because when WrestleQuest gets here, under 2 weeks, I'm going to be strutting all over the world, and I've got another guitar shot for you if you open your damn mouth just one time.
You should be in jail for what you did to me on Monday during the WrestleQuest stream. You should be in jail, and I'm glad I called people and got your game delayed. I'm glad it's delayed, and it'll be caught in litigation forever.
Oh, put your damn gavel down, you Andy Kaufman wannabe.
Barrett,
walking around with your
silly neck brace. Why is Jeff Jarrett on this show?
I promise you I'll be back. I promise you I'll be back, Greggy. Little double G Greggy. I got more than a guitar shot for you next time, pal.
Yeah, bring your walker. Get him off my screen. This is PS I Love You. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for Jeff Jarrett.
I hate you. I hate you.
I hate you, Jeff Jarrett. I hate you, Jeff Jarrett. God damn it. This is supposed to be my safe place. This is supposed to be where I'm comfortable. Hanging out with Blessing and Janet. God damn it.
I mean, he's cool with us, and so I kind of like him. Yeah,
thanks for sticking up for me at all during there. You both sat there like bumps on a pickle. Nobody helping me out.
He doesn't have beef with me.
Yeah.
And so that's on you. Do you get PTSD whenever you walk by a guitar now?
It's terrifying. You
couldn't feel your legs for 2 seconds.
Because there's two. There was two, and there's still one floating around this place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm sorry, man. That's tough.
I'm sorry to every listener and every viewer that just had to see Jeff Jarrett come in here and scream at me. I apologize for that. Says he's going to make my life a living hell for 2 weeks. I'd like to see him try. Janet, how are you? I haven't talked to you in forever. Are you okay?
I know.
Have you been hit with a guitar?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there. I'm approaching double wedding weekend. So
what does that mean?
I have a wedding this weekend and I have a wedding next weekend. So I have a flight tomorrow at 6 a.m. out of LAX. And Isaiah's like, I think we need to get up at like 3. I'm like, I got you. When will I go to bed tonight? I promise you it's not a good time. I promise you it's not going to be a good time.
Where is the wedding?
What's up?
Where's the wedding?
Buffalo.
The first one? Buffalo. Back to Buffalo. Mm-hmm.
Back in Buffalo, the Charbecue Wings. I'm very excited to get the Charbecue Wings from, I think it's Lenova's is the name of the place. And then we'll just see. We'll try to hit up some spots that we didn't get around to last time with the little bit of extra time we have. So that'll be really good. But yeah, get into the groove, working on things, playing Kingdom Hearts, unraveling and that, you know, it's been a whole thing. What about you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm wearing college shirts all the time now.
Chat are saying you're stepping up your shirt game. That's what people are saying.
We've entered the era of collared shirt Greg, where I'm going to wear collared shirts. Not all the time, as we said, because we got that cool trog shirt I need to wear at some point. But primarily, this week I've been not rocking it. And I have no sign of stopping, and I still have multiple new ones. I'm pretty stoked about Bless. But again, I got to compliment Blessing Eddie Oye Jr. And, of course, the Kind of Funny spare bedroom. That's what made me do it.
Yeah,
I finally got sick of looking at, like a schlub next to Bless. But again, this is what annoys me. This is what annoys me.
I am wearing a t-shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're an audio listener, pull over to the side of the road.
Like, where can I get this shirt, though?
Open YouTube.
You know what I mean? Like, I know something about it.
And yeah, look at it. Like,
I'm just trying to
sell our merch. The problem is that Blessing looks dynamite.
In
our merch.
I'm trying to sell our merch is all I'm trying to do.
I look like I haven't showered in 3 days and just rolled out of a frat party when I wear it.
I mean, you're inspiring me because I've been trying to think about what my next step is for how am I going to reinvent myself for the next season. Yeah, what's giving me my new fashion transition?
Yeah.
During my birthday, I wore a collared shirt that I had thrifted that was like a very colorful collared shirt, and usually I don't rock that kind of thing, but I felt good in it, and so maybe I'll start to make that my thing. We can both enter our collared shirt era.
That's what I'd see.
Collared brothers.
But then if he enters it at the same time as you, it negates, you know what I mean? Like now you're
There's no competitors, just collaborators. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not worried about it. Blessing looking good doesn't bring me down. It's not like I can go any higher.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to wear like a tuxedo.
But isn't Blessing looking good the thing that made you want to go even higher?
But again, Blessing looks good in anything he wears. He looks great in this shirt.
I can dress that.
From kindoffunny.com/oldstore.
I can get you a couple like hoodies with like holes in them and shit, you know?
Even when he wears the hoodies, he looks good.
I feel like that would be a vibe too, though.
I was going to say, we can experiment with this. I can find purposely schlubby clothes and see if that actually works out.
I'll see what my dad has like laying around and see if he can.
I'll look in the side of my closet of the clothes that I never wear. I'll wear like just like a Carlton cardigan.
Okay.
See if that works.
That would work.
Yeah.
Probably.
Also because as I say that out loud, that sounds good. Like a Tyler the Creator type style, which
exactly.
Oh man, that would be fresh.
Yeah. Your golf wing era, yeah.
Yeah, my golf wing era. Greg, what do you think golf wing is?
My golf wing era or
golf wang. Yeah.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm entering my golf wang era.
I knew you were going to do that.
I would assume it's some kind of musical artist.
You're not far off.
Popular. Yes.
You're not far off.
What is it?
It's like Tyler, the Creator's group. It's actually called Odd Future
Wolf Gang. Kill them all.
But golf wang is the brand.
And Tyler, the Creator was the guy who was like, and that was a fucking lie. Right.
That was the creator. And okay. So Golf Wang is basically Wolfgang rearranged in letters.
Okay. Is it related to Wolfgang Puck?
I'm sure maybe named after. Yeah, I'm sure. Odd Future Wolfgang is named after that.
Marty Primit, who I assume is named after Marty from Back to the Future, writes in just like you can for free at kindoffunny.com/PSILY and says, are you all excited for the Red Dead Redemption port? I'm excited, but want to wait for a sale on this. I have not talked to anybody on camera about this or even off camera because it's just been a very busy week. Janet, the marathon running, roller skating, game playing, Garcia, are you excited for the Red Dead Redemption port?
I don't think so. I've got to be honest. Like, I have never really been a Red Dead Redemption person. And playing RDR2 when it was in that era, like, it didn't click for me either. So I think it's one of those things where I'm like, maybe I need to go back and give it another go and it'll hit different. And it's like, I feel like these moments, even if you're not excited, like if you're kind of lukewarm as I am, it kind of, it's another chance to like make the same mistake. It's like, but maybe have different results. So there is always that temptation of maybe it'll be different this time around.
So did you ever try Red Dead 1?
Mm-mm.
Okay. See, Red Dead 2 didn't click for me, but I adored Red Dead 1 with the usual dip of Mexico. Yeah. This does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. Like,
we are the same though. So
sure, but like Janet, like we are. We are drowning in a sea of amazing games. Like, don't get me wrong, Red Dead Redemption is an amazing game, but it's an old game. It's a PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah.
And now it's just being ported? No bells and whistles except more languages? $50?
Undead Nightmare.
Yeah, Undead Nightmare, fantastic. Okay, yeah. But again, like, I also say both of those are fantastic and I love them and yada yada with rose-tinted PS3 glasses on. I have no idea what that's going to feel like or play like. When this got, you know, rated, we were all, is it a remake? Is it a remaster? It's just a port.
Yeah,
and it's like it's a port to the PS4 that's going to be backwards compatible on the PS5. That of a game that if I really wanted to play Red Dead and Undead Nightmare, I could turn on my Xbox and get it backwards compatibility there already. It's already been there.
But you know, you don't want to open up your Xbox.
Well, I mean, of course not.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's you're a great paperweight right now, right?
Exactly.
It's sitting there waiting for Starfield. It's just waiting for Starfield. Bless, do you care?
It's a similar thing where there's just too many games coming out or coming off of / building up to Baldur's Gate 3, depending on which platform you're on. There's Armored Core coming out. There's Starfield coming out. There's other games that are happening. There's that on top of, I actually relate to Janet quite a bit that for me, Red Dead isn't something that super did it for me. And I think that I'd be curious to go back and see if I'd be able to take to it because I'm such a GTA person.
To take to it?
I am such a GTA person. I love Rockstar so much, but Red Dead Redemption 2 was the game for me that made me go, oh man, this might be too Rockstar. This might be a bit too sluggish in the movement and too simmy and might not actually speak to me as somebody who usually likes these kind of things. Red Dead 1 back in the day, I think I just wasn't really in the mood for that kind of game versus like driving around in a city and shooting stuff. But
for sure,
as this news has come out, like I've gone and I was talking about this with Tim earlier today that, you know, I went back and I looked at the release dates for these games and like the fact that Rockstar was cranking out games like crazy, right? GTA 4 came out in 2008, Red Dead came out in 2010, GTA 5 came out 3 years after that in 2013. It's like, damn, they had such a cadence then. And I went back and I was watching some Red Dead footage as well. And Red Dead 1, looking back at it, I'm like, yo, actually, this looks fun. This looks more like
it was fun.
And like, I might not have given it the credit it deserved back then. And so I could see myself returning to it just to like check it out to see how it holds up compared to a Red Dead 2, which was so different from Red Dead 1 and leaned in so heavily to a lot of the semi elements. But for what they're selling this package as, it's not what any of us asked for, right? Like, I think the dope thing about this is that it's good for video game preservation to have a version of Red Dead available on modern platforms. But, you know, it's not a remaster. It's not a remake. It's not Red Dead 1, but now it looks like Red Dead 2. It's not any of that. It's just a straight up port. And like, there, Roger was talking about rumors that it might not even be 60 FPS. And I'm like, okay, well, if it legitimately is just that game, I don't know if I have the time for it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, right, where you take away from it. Of course, you can watch this live as we record this show on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Trogs in the chat, I want to see if you're into Red Dead or not. Are you excited for this one? Yes or no? Keep it simple in there so I can get a glance at it. It just seems like a weird one. Video game preservation, of course, that makes sense. Again, it is one of those where you sit there and you go, sure, that makes sense, but it's also like this also is just another glaring shortcoming of the PlayStation platform, right? Yeah. That it's just not backwards compatible through you would think for PlayStation to PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, the numerals would suggest, right, that it would just all make sense. And I know cell processor, I know all the different reasons there, but
like the fact that you can't play Metal Gear Solid 4.
Again, that we're making this big deal about this because it is and it's great and it's there. But then it's like Xbox is just like Phil Spencer, like, yo, it's been here the whole time. What are you talking about? Yeah. You're going to play this the whole time with all the built in stuff that would work.
And you see from this news, right? It's coming to PlayStation. It's coming to Switch. It's not, they're not making a Xbox One version because you can already play this on One and Series X because they have that back compatible stuff figured out. It's not coming to PC, which is also disappointing. Yeah, but that's a conversation for maybe a different show. But
Control-Alt-Delete. Fuck me, I'm stupid for playing PC XOXO. That's
exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know about all that. You know, what if you got an RTX 3080? I feel like that would change around some of your opinions on PC, Greg.
Huh. You know? Which brings us to topic of the show. Hear ye, ladies and gentlemen. Court is now in session. It's the case of PlayStation versus Blessing Adeoye Jr. Raised in Champagne and Africa at a pig farm, Blessing is now here to tell us. Blessing, you stand accused of turning your back on PlayStation and becoming a PC gamer. Janet, can you believe what I've just said?
Yeah, because you could say anything at any time and I have to just kind of roll with it. I feel like that's what this company is based on. So yes, absolutely, I can believe what you just said. You could say anything and I'd be like, that sounds like something Greg would say. Yep.
A lot of times in this business, in this job, there are things we all have to do. Unsightly, unseemly, disgusting, disturbed, depraved things. Like playing review code on a PC. Baldur's Gate 3 came to PC, of course. They pushed up the deadline. They are the embargo, the release date. That's what I'm looking for. It's in a grab bag of words and could not find the right one. I'm in the garage looking at all the different screwdrivers. They pushed up the release date to get away from, of course, Starfield for the PC players. They said PlayStation players, you'll still get it on Starfield release date in September since you have nothing else to play. It'll work out fine. Jen and I did a banger episode all about it. Check it out. PS, I love you, XOXO. So we get this. We all loaded up on our Steam Decks because that's
we all do. We all did.
Yeah.
On our Steam Decks.
Uh-huh.
A PC platform.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Cool.
Because Steam Deck, of course, has buttons. It's basically a big old Game Gear. It's basically a big old Vita.
We PC get to sit is notorious for not having buttons.
Sir, you'll have a chance to cross-examine me.
They have a lot of buttons.
All right. Yeah! Order in the court!
They have the most buttons.
Wazdas.
I like how you're also sort of then on trial, but you have the gavel. There's a lot.
Janet, I think you're the judge or the bailiff. I'm not sure. I don't know in this whole thing we're doing what it is. But we all did it. We all played it. We all talked about it on the review. And I was very clear. All right, cool. I'm putting this down. Eventually, it'll come to PlayStation in a month. I won't play it then because I'll be playing Starfield on Xbox. But it'll come to PlayStation, and I'll play it eventually. I'll eventually get back to it. You said, I'm going to play a little bit more. I'm going to keep going. And that's fine. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. You know, once 5 o'clock rolls around, I can't control you anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I am playing this game on the clock. Just like
what?
My PC at my desk.
But it's now this idea that you've given up on the Steam Deck and then had the audacity to come back and tell me, hey, a lot of our problems with the game and the radio wheels don't exist when you use a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Are you coming back to PlayStation? Are you going to play this game on PlayStation? Because the save will come over. They got the cross-save progression thingamajig.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play this game on PlayStation. I think I'm just going to stick to the PC version of it. It's really good. It's really good on PC, the mouse and keyboard. More information is on screen during the combat. Like, combat, I think, was the main gripe between
all of us
on the panel, right? And, like, you know, again, I was playing on my Steam Deck using the buttons in a way that theoretically, in terms of UI, I'm sure will translate to PlayStation with the same stuff they have there, right? Like, I know Nick has found ways to connect a mouse and keyboard to PlayStation. I'm not about that life. I'm not gonna cross those two things that way. But yeah, once I downloaded the game on a PC proper and started playing Baldur's Gate 3 with a mouse and keyboard, I got way more into what those systems were just from how it's laid out on the screen and how you don't need to navigate through these different things to how you can actually arrange things really easily between your basic actions versus your bonus actions, or, you know, organize your specific class abilities in one way. There are so many different clickable things on screen for Baldur's Gate 3 to make it way more palpable that, I think I prefer playing this game on a PC, excuse me, as opposed to a PlayStation.
So this is an interesting topic, obviously, to jump off. You're guilty. We'll send you to...
I don't know what I'm guilty of.
This is like a really speedy trial.
It's a kangaroo court, everybody's aware.
What is a kangaroo court?
This is shorter than the Sunshine trial that Mario was on, even though it's also a PlayStation situation.
My question then becomes,
so I would have no way of knowing. I've heard. I have an experience firsthand.
Blessing, you know, we've had a really interesting year, right, of video games overall. But especially games like Diablo 4, where this is a game that I think
many people went on record of being like, you know, it actually feels better with controller than the traditional PC controls, right? Like, they've really gone from Diablo 3 and added in all stuff to make it feel like it was kind of built with the controller and gamepad in mind. Baldur's Gate 3, in the run-up to it, and like, hey, is this going to be the dark horse for RPG of the year, game of the year? Hey, is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? The decision's the thing. To get there and play it and then be like, oh, man, like, I don't fully understand combat. I have too many radio wheels. They're throwing a lot of information at me. I guess my questions are, do you think what you're experiencing there is actually then going to be a huge detriment to PlayStation players? Do you think more people would jump into it and have this feeling of, whoa, I don't see why so many people love it when it's this kind of thing that's doing it? Especially when you're talking about, you know, when you talk about Baldur's Gate 3, it is a CRPG, right? A computer RPG. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say in this day and age. But when you're playing it and you feel it and you see how many icons are there to move around and, you know, completely customize your key.
I mean, even
stuff.
Things like instead of having it on controller and moving around my character the way we would move around a character in any game, having it be, oh, I'm just going to click the point I'm going to go and have my character walk there. It feels like I'm playing almost a different game on PC. And I don't know if it's to the amount to where people aren't going to get a lot of it out of PlayStation, because I think people are going to get plenty out of it on PlayStation. Even playing it on Steam Deck, I was blown away by that game. And that game is going to look better on PlayStation as opposed to a Steam Deck, right?
Sure.
Like, and maybe not as much as a PC, but I still think you have a very great game there on PlayStation. A lot of people are going to get stuff out of it, especially when we talk about elements like co-op play. A lot of people are going to play this game with friends, and I think that's easier from both a couch co-op perspective. If you both have a DualSense controller in your hand, you're playing off of the same screen and playing in your living room. I think there's a lot there that's going to go into why you would choose this game on PlayStation versus a PC. I have friends that are waiting for the PlayStation version of the game for both the I have a PlayStation, and then also for a I want to play with my friends sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that for me, probably for the wide majority, the maximized way to play this game is probably going to be on PC, just for how much information this game needs to convey for what it is and how deep it is, and how easier it is to navigate through that information, through the menus and all these things, just by being able to click on the screen as opposed to having to use the D-pad or analog stick and have to sift through the ways that they've made those adjustments on a platform that doesn't have a mouse and keyboard, even though I guess technically you could do it, but you get what I mean.
I totally get what you mean, yeah. And then, Janet, talk to me about where you are in a post-Baldur's Gate 3 review world. We talked about it, obviously, in the run-up to it. Could this, you know, with Starfield not being on PlayStation, could this step up and fill an RPG gap? You still weren't like, oh, I can't wait for it. I'm going to jump into it. Has anything you've seen, read, or, you know, watched changed your mind?
So I'm actually, I don't know where I'm playing this, is the thing. I've been kind of sitting and waiting and scoping things out. I'm torn because I want to wait for the PlayStation version because I'm like, and I know it has like the cross-save stuff, but I'm like, maybe I can just wait at this point. Like, I got a lot of other stuff on my plate.
A lot of games.
But at the same
right
time,
now.
At the same time, I'm like, do I want to just go the blessing route and play? Like, I cannot tell you the last time I played a game like on my PC by my own choice. Usually, like a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of games like come to console, so like sure. I just get it on console. Even if it's not PlayStation console, like, I just get it wherever I can get it. Sometimes I have to play something on PC, like, for stream purposes, because it's, like, only on PC. And now that I have the Steam Deck, I'm like, okay, well, this is, again, like you said, it's, like, a console slab. So it's, like, oh, it's all the fun of, like, the stuff that's only on PC without having to sit here at this desk. Because it's fun being here when it's, like, here for content, here with y'all. I don't want to be here, like, work's done, I close Slack, and now I'm just in a game. Like,
now it's
I don't
my gamer
do that.
Chair.
I don't want to do that, even though I do sit in the chair and I have a gamer chair. But that's the thing. I've seen a lot. Like, Isaiah's deep into this game. He's like, oh, God, at this point, he's got to be like 20 hours in. He was 17 hours in when the week started.
Okay.
And he's played a little bit more. He's playing on Steam Deck. And sometimes he hooks up his Steam Deck to the TV to, like, make it like a console.
Oof, man, I'll tell you what, I did that for Baldur's Gate 3 and I was like, no, immediately took it apart.
So,
I'm like, this is so ugly.
I was doing that for a while.
It's so ugly, but like, I don't know, that's the, maybe it's because like it doesn't hold enough charge to like, I haven't really asked him like, hey, why are you sometimes playing on the TV? Like, I don't mind it, but you know. And it's so like, I just don't know. It's really dense. It's like, do I want to do a dense thing a lot of time sitting here? I'm not really sure where I want to end up going. And I do have it downloaded on Steam Deck where I'm like, do I want to dip in on Steam Deck? But kind of like to Bless's point, and I was watching other people play this too, because my colleagues at MinMax just streamed this game, and seeing them click to walk over, which sounds, it sounds so rudimentary, but like click to just walk over versus like having to move, I'm like, yeah, it seems like it'd be better to just kind of sort of automate and streamline some of these aspects.
But is so to jump off of that again, as somebody who played, like, moving my character wasn't one of my issues. I thought that felt natural, normal. I enjoyed that fine. Is that one of the like game changers for you? Is the click of moving them there? Like,
I mean, it is one. Yeah. Like, cause I'm with you that when I was playing on Steam Deck, that wasn't an issue I had. I think it works fine with that. But then when I made the transition, I was like, oh, I like this better. Okay. And I think that it's just, you're able to kind of focus on different things, you know, move your camera around the world in a different way. And, you know, you interact with the world a different way. One of the complaints I did have was trying to pick things up or like trying to do a certain action and my character would accidentally steal something. Yeah, and now the narrator is like, oh, don't want to do that. And then all of a sudden somebody comes up and is like, hey, you stealing? And it gets into a whole thing. And now I have to reload my save.
Okay.
I'm not having that issue as much when I'm playing on mouse and keyboard, because there is more of an accuracy of what I actually want to do and directing it that way.
Sure.
Yeah. It just feels like a different way to move through the world that takes some heat off of me when trying to play like a Bethesda RPG or something where I am like, you know, behind the back just running around or whatever.
Now this is going to sound like me grasping at straws, and I'm not doing the character. I'm doing the thing in terms of, this is kind of acting as, how many hours in are you, Bless?
About 15 hours.
So like, this is almost a preview for the PlayStation 5 version, right? Mm-hmm. Of when this game does drop. I know on Steam Deck, you could go in and set the settings from freewheeling to moving the thing around. I did it once by accident. I was like, oh, personally, I didn't like that movement thing. But again, it's not a mouse and keyboard. It's me using the sticks or whatever. Do you think that would make it better on PlayStation as well if you did it that way? Would that give you what you're looking for out of it?
Can you describe how that works?
I'd have to go get it, but it was, you know, just a switch over, and then you're moving the cursor like as if it was a mouse. I was moving with joysticks the same way.
I hate moving the cursor. Like, I mean, Bless, this is like all you because you're the one that's done it. But I hate when I have to pretend like my joystick is a mouse. Like, it's like my least favorite action in any game, even if it's just on the menu. I'm like, why did you do it this way? I can't imagine. I think that might be a personal preference thing where maybe other people aren't as bothered by that.
Gamer Kennedy Live says you can go back and forth on the fly. You don't even need to go to settings.
See, I think that feature is nice. Yeah, being able to go back and forth. But even still, just having the speed of the mouse is going to be better than that. And maybe on the PlayStation, they use the touchpad. I'm sure on the Steam Deck, I'm 1,000% sure you can do that if you wanted to on the touchpad. But on the PlayStation, the going back and forth of it, being able to use the touchpad to actually click the things you want and have that free camera, I'm sure that'll be there, but I would much rather just use a mouse and keyboard for that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So then 15 hours in, what is the update? Like, is a week later from our Baldur's Gate 3 review on PC, or impressions on PC.
Yeah.
Now that you're doing basically a PS5 preview of what it'll be like in a month for everybody else, how is this faring? Are you as high as you were before? Higher?
Yeah. I mean, the more I play it, the more impressed I become with it. And I think it reminds me a bit of the Zelda Tears of the Kingdom conversation, where that game came out and everybody was sharing their stories. Everybody was sharing their own tales of being in Hyrule and sharing clips of things that were happening, and then sharing also like secrets of, oh, did you know you can do this? Oh man, you can solve this puzzle this way. And that's been half the joy for me with Baldur's Gate 3, is seeing people get their hands with it online and going through Twitter and seeing people talk about their own stories, seeing people talk about the characters that they're falling in love with, or the characters that are romance, the different ways in which they solved their issues. Hearing Mike mention that him and Andy and that crew murdered Carlock upon meeting her for the first time, that hurt me, because I was like, oh, first of all, I didn't think to do that. I didn't think you could do that. But then also, wait, that's a near and dear character to me. I fucking love Carlock. Like, that character is awesome. And so hearing these different things that people are doing in the game is really impressive. But the thing that really holds up moment to moment for me has been the writing and the stories and how into everything I am. Like I mentioned before, that I am not really that big of a fantasy person. I prefer something that's more sci-fi or post-apocalyptic. And having this fantasy world contain so much moment to moment story bits of, oh, all of a sudden this like devilish character showed up and told me that he could heal my condition if I basically just sold my soul. And I'm like, ooh, that's interesting, but no, I don't want to do that, because I don't want to let down the characters that I'm with. And it becomes this fun, like, ultimatum sort of thing. And all of a sudden, like, he teleports me back to his place and teleports me back to where I was. I'm like, wait, what the fuck just happened? And the game so far has been filled with that. I'm still very early on. You know, I was just talking to Barrett about how Barrett hit up the goblin camp that you get to early in the game because you want to save a druid character that's captured in there.
Barrett, are you playing on mouse and keyboard?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Guilty!
Fuck
you,
let's go. I'm guilty and I love it.
Let's go. We're some bad boys.
I played it on my Steam Deck with the buttons and stuff, and just that is one of the games that I just felt immediately of, oh man, this is not a Steam Deck game. It takes the battery life so quickly. It also, you know, I don't love the wheel menu stuff for
the radio wheels, turn.
Yeah, not a fan of it. So yeah, I got the itch to download it on my actual PC last night and played for like 4 or 5 hours last night, and I was just loving it.
Yeah,
it looks great on PC too, even with just my 3060 Ti. It's at a level that's just so fucking beautiful. Also, putting on DLSS for that,
dude.
As well.
That's the thing.
I'm excited to play this on my remote queue. How about that, huh?
So,
I'm sure you're going to be excited, Greg, to play this on PS5, where it'll look very pretty at like maybe 25 to 30 frames.
That's a sensitive topic, and you know it.
That's my other thing is that I started playing it on my desk, and I was like, dude, this game looks hot. And I've had a PC that's been sitting at home that I was using for work, right, when I'm working from home, and I would also play PC games on it and stuff. But I wasn't playing that many PC games, you know. Like, I'm asking for a console code, and like, lately, if I'm doing a PC code, specifically it's for Steam Deck, so I can have something on the go, right? Especially if it's not available on my Switch. And about a year or so ago, maybe over a year ago, Andy gave me an RTX 3080 Ti, a graphics card. This is a PlayStation podcast.
Yeah, no, they understand.
And I've been sitting on it, and I never installed it. You know, I just put it, I just placed it somewhere in my apartment. I was like, I'll get back to this. I'll install this one day.
One day there'll be a PC game I care about.
Yeah, like when there's a PC game that I care to play on my PC that could use this, sure, I'll install it. And that day just never came. So it's just been sitting around collecting dust. Eventually, I brought it to the office because Kevin wanted to test it out for something. And I went home the other day, and I was like, oh man, I kind of want to play Baldur's Gate 3 at my PC at home, because I was playing it at my desk at work. And the main problems I had were, one, I want it to look really good if I'm going to do that. So maybe finally it's the time to install the RTX 3080. But then also, I just don't have space in my computer, right? Like, Baldur's Gate 3 is a hefty game. That is over 120 gigabytes, 130 gigabytes, somewhere around that of space. And I just could not find that space to make in my PC. And so I hit up Kevin. I was like, hey, can I get that RTX back? And then also, is there an SSD that I can grab that I can use for internal storage? He gave me both of those things. And I went home the first night, installed the, I did softball, came back tired from softball, 9 p.m. and was like,
now I'm going to take apart a PC and put some garbage in it.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to take apart a PC right now. And I did that and installed the GPU all by myself and turned it on.
Like, I know these things from the Astrobot song. Okay, I got you.
Installed it by myself, turned it on, and at first I was like, oh, it's not turning on. And then it turned on after like two tries. And I was like, oh, it works. Like, this actually worked. And I booted up the next day. I downloaded Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart to see how that would look and run. Yeah. God damn, that game looked really good. That game looked really good on my PC. I was like, and I also have an ultra wide monitor at home. And the more I talk, the more I'm like, fuck, I sound like Andy Cortez.
Is that who you want to be?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I feel like we got a lot in common. I feel like
he's got a solid setup over there.
He does have a really good setup.
He seems like he's enjoying
a lot of beans, though.
Fully.
A lot of cans of beans.
But I am trying to get my protein count up, right? I'm trying to, like, I don't know, do some, like, I'm trying to build biceps. I heard protein's good for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The beans have protein.
Don't look at me. I don't know. I don't have any. Beanless, have you seen
beanless.
Me?
Like, yeah, I was gonna correct myself. It's a beanless chili he has.
Oh, that's not gonna help me.
Yeah. No,
that doesn't help you at all.
Cans of it everywhere.
But anyway, played Ratchet, turned on DLSS, turned on all that bullshit. Fucking looked great. And I'm like, damn, dude, this might actually be. There might be a new version of me that's about to arrive. Yeah, this might be me hatching for my cocoon. But I was playing Ratchet. That's a PlayStation game.
Yeah, and the lines are blurred more than ever, right, in terms of what it is. And of course, play games wherever you want to play games. And of course, like, I think this is what we talk about all the time, of where a game starts isn't where it's going to finish, in terms of Ratchet starting on PS5, right, then going to PC, Baldur's Gate being on PC a month later, less than now, right, half a month from now, coming to PlayStation 5. So all the impressions are there.
But anyway, so this is me announcing I'm stepping down.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm starting a spinoff podcast. Twist.
You hate it.
You say I love you. Control-Alt. Control-Alt.
Just Control-Alt.
Control-Alt.
Delete? You're not going to delete? You're not going
to... I guess that would make more sense as a pun, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Control-Alt is just a weird place to stop it, you know?
Control-Alt.
So then, again, continuing basically a preview of Baldur's Gate for PlayStation 5.
where is this currently sitting in terms of this year? Is it a contender? Like, is it in your top five, you think? Is it like...
Currently, I would say it's in my top five, but my top five also isn't super competitive right now.
Zelda?
Yeah, it's like Zelda, Street Fighter, Hi-Fi Rush, and Final Fantasy
that's
16.
Really high.
Hi-Fi Rush. Those aren't necessarily in order, but they're roughly in order, I guess. But like, yeah, I fucking loved Hi-Fi Rush. I might put FF16 above Hi-Fi Rush, but ask me a different day. Baldur's Gate 3, I think, is for sure going to infiltrate that. The question for me comes down to how much more do I even get to play by the time I get to Game of the Year? Because it is, for me, that slow burn game that I am playing over time where I don't have the time to sit down and just binge Baldur's Gate. That's why I'm only... quote unquote only 15 hours in, as opposed to being 30 hours in by now, is I've not been able
is
to
it, it, are you it. Going to make a point, you think, to roll credits on it? Is the story that good?
It
strikes me again as somebody who just played the 5 or 6 hours for the impressions, right, and then put it down and move on to other reviews. It's one of those where I agree the storytelling is phenomenal and amazing, right? But it is that moment to moment stuff. It is the interactions you're making with your party. I gotta get the thing out of my eye, and I'm sure the story's evolved way beyond that, right? But it is like, I don't know if that's what would compel me. Like, I'm not like, I got to see how this all ends, right? I want to get in there and live and have those moments and go through. Honestly, kind of similar to how Witcher 3 was for me, where it was do every side quest, see all these different people, and then 30 hours in, I tapped and move on to something for review. I don't think I made it out of Act 1.
And that's my same thing, is that I don't have plans to roll credits on Baldur's Gate 3. If I get there, I get there, and that'll be dope. But I am looking at it as an everlasting gobstopper game of, I'm just going to pick it up, you know, often and chip away at it slowly and take it quest by quest, because I am just having fun taking it encounter by encounter. Like, to the thing I was talking about with Barrett in the Goblin Camp, I'm pretty much at the same place as Barrett. Like, I've been on that Goblin Camp for like fucking 10 hours, but I got there, did a thing, and went, ooh, okay, this is a high level area. And I left, and I've just been exploring since then and just clearing out the map. And I finally gotten back to the Goblin Camp, and now I'm like, all right, what is the tedious way I'm going to do this? And it's turned
just
into
inching now. You're just inching along, killing things,
and now it's turned into Hitman, where I'm in that Goblin Camp, and I talk to the the witch goblin lady there, who said that she can help me with my eye thing, and I isolated her in a room.
I did the same exact thing, bless.
Yeah, isolated in a room, took her out before she could call for help, and then it sounds so gruesome, but
jeez, yeah.
It's all fucked up. But it did that, and now I'm like, all right, how am I going to take out the other two, right? Now I'm like, I'm trying to hitman myself around this place of, all right, I just need to assassinate the two other goblins so I can save Halston and get the
fuck
out of
there. And they hit you with, like, such a left turn, too, because it was like, oh, man, like, isolating this one lady was really easy. She's, like, a level 4 or whatever. All right, cool. Yep. And then you go over to the other two, and it's like, they're level 6, and their hit points are, like, 80 hit points. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm like, how am I going to do this? And I'm having fun taking my time. Like, I am not in a rush to get through it. And that is a very early quest in Act 1 or whatever. I am still in the beginning areas of the map, but I'm having such a fun time just living there. And yeah, I want to slowly make my way through it. And so, you know, maybe over time, I put in hundreds of hours into this game within the next few years, possibly. Or maybe I play 30 hours this year and move on and then don't come back to it. Like, either thing could happen, and I'm down either way. Like, I'm just taking it as it goes. I'm just having fun with it.
All right. Do we have to be concerned? Are you going to play Helldivers 2 on PC as well? Is that you're going to be playing?
No, because that's just a third-person shooter, right?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Okay, cool.
Is it crossplay?
You know,
is
it cross-play?
I mean, if it is, I might get code each way so I can play on a Steam Deck when I'm not.
That'd be cool. Because I was going to say, like, I might play with Andy. If Andy's going to play on PC, then maybe I'll get on.
But I mean, if it's crossplay, you can play anywhere. You know,
if it's crossplay, I can play anywhere. But also, with the new RTX 3080 Ti that I
just
it's going to look real good.
Guilty. We're watching you.
I know what I'm guilty of.
You're on PC probation, all right?
PC, oh no.
Limited to this game, because if there's other stuff that's on PlayStation you're playing over there, we're gonna have a problem.
Fair enough.
Even though I guess your impressions work on this show too.
I mean, we're reviewing Starfield in a month. That's on Xbox.
Hey man, but it's not on PlayStation, so what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah. I mean, that is on PC though. I could play that on PC.
Here we go. Here
Fuck,
we
I could play Starfield
God damn,
on PC.
He's gonna be one of those people.
Ultra wide.
Ladies and gentlemen.
In an RTX 3080.
If you like us, and you like PS I Love You XOXO, then you'd love patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can go and get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ad-free as an MP3 and video. Of course, you get all the other podcasts like that. You can count in front of Games Daily like that. You can watch us record the other podcasts live as we record them, just like Ryan Povala Higgins and Keegan Hill are watching right now in the chat to be part of the show, where they say they're not happy with you.
They're not happy with you.
Is that what they said?
No, they actually said blink if you have Starfield, which is really funny.
They actually seem fine. Nobody's blinking, so there you go. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can also get exclusive merch like the cool Trog shirt that I'm sure all the Trogs are rocking. You could get your name right on the show and so many other cool things. But most importantly, you could feel like you have a part in keeping the mics and lights on. But like I was saying earlier, you could go there to get the show ad-free. And since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures, just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life, from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDOFFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We here at Kinda Funny swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KINDOFFUNNY at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code KINDOFFUNNY at liquidiv.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Libre, Eau de Parfum Intense by Yves Saint Laurent. The sultry vanilla signature. The fragrance for those who do what they want and dare to be exactly who they are. Libre is crafted with signature notes of lavender essence from France and Moroccan orange blossom, combined with glowing warm vanilla from Madagascar that pushes it to the extreme, creating a long-lasting vanilla twist on the floral fragrance. Gift freedom. Gift Libre.
Blessing.
Greg.
What's happening this week in PlayStation?
This week in PlayStation, we got a banger PlayStation Plus month. For PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium, we're getting Destiny 2, The Witch Queen for PS4 and PS5. Sea of Stars, woo! PS4 and PS5, that's a new game. Lost Judgment, Moving Out, Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed, Two Point Hospital Jumbo Edition, Source of Madness, Curse to Golf, Dreams for PS4, PJ Masks, Heroes of the Night, that's all one word, Hotel Transylvania, Scary Tale Adventures, Lawn Mowing Simulator, Landmark Edition, Spellforce 3, Reforced, and then Midnight Fight Express. Also, I should shout out for Dreams, that was the PS Plus like monthly title for the month for just basic PS Plus, but it's coming to Extra, meaning that as the months go, even if you don't have PS Plus now and you get PS Plus later, if you get PS Plus extra, you'll have access to Dreams. That's basically moving into that category.
Real quick too, I'm the one who imported this, and I brought it in from IGN. There's actually a typo in there. It's Moving Out 2 that's coming to the game library. Why that's notable is that both Sea of Stars and Moving Out 2 are day and date releases added straight in there, and both of those are games I'm super excited for.
And then for premium, you're getting these classics: Medieval, Resurrection, Ape Escape on the Loose, and Pursuit Force Extreme Justice.
How much you love Pursuit Force?
Oh, I'm such a big Pursuit Force fan. Ask me anything about Pursuit Force.
What do you do in Pursuit Force?
You pursue. You're a copper and you pursue forcefully with force.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
As coppers do.
This the is only way they know how.
This is a great lineup.
Rough.
Yeah.
This is a really good lineup of games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Destiny 2, The Witch Queen. All right. If you haven't touched Destiny yet and you don't know what's all about. Sea of Stars, of course, the follow up from Sabotage, the people who made The Messenger. People have been excited for this turn based RPG forever. This love letter to JRPGs. It looks awesome. It's got great art. Like I said, Moving Out 2, a game that Mike can't wait for. I can't wait for. We enjoyed Moving Out so much. Lost Judgment, a great Yakuza detective kind of thing going on there. Dreams, of course, we've talked at length. Why the fuck is Dreams not there? Why is Dreams not there?
I want to give a quick apology to Media Molecule and PlayStation on we didn't talk shit, but like on the questioning of Dreams coming to PS Plus, because it being timed with the release of Trin actually works out really well, because I've been playing Trin, and I guess this is me maybe moving what I've been playing.
You've been playing Trin?
I've been playing Trin, and that is Media Molecule's latest game.
We're seeing it here on video if you're watching.
Yeah, released in Dreams. And Trin,
what's going on here?
Yeah, right, yeah, wait a second, right?
Trin might be a contender for puzzle game of the year for me.
Wow.
It is really good and really well fleshed out, has a really great soundtrack, has really great sound design, looks really good just from a visual level. And basically what you're doing here, it's a toy train game where you have a toy train and you're solving these puzzles. Each puzzle is a different track that you're on. And you have trial thing of you can get 3 stars, 2 stars, or 1 star, depending on how well you
have different times for what you need to do.
Yeah, and so if you get it in under, like, let's say 30 seconds for a track, that'll be 3 stars, and under a minute, that'll be 2 stars, etc. And the way that these tracks kind of evolve with their mechanics and like the things they introduced to you to solve these puzzles, really smart, really thoughtful, and really fun. And so like one of the very early things you learn is like there's a boost mechanic, and there's also a mechanic where you can change the line of track that your train is going down. And so like you might have to go down a left track first so you can push a button to then open up another track and then go back and then grab a cargo thing, because the more cargo you get, the more that cuts your time down. Grab the cargo, come back, and then get to the end of the level, right? That's a very basic form of what a trend level looks like. But if it evolves and grows from there in a way that is very much impressed me. Like,
I want you to know, from that very basic like tutorial, like race one, that was enough for me to go, oh, this is not a Greg game.
Yeah.
I played it. I was excited. I jumped in. You know, Ben loves these wooden trains. Like, he plays with these all the time. So I was like, I went downstairs 2 nights ago or whatever. I was like, all right, downloaded it. Or maybe I did my desk. I forget. And got in there. And yeah, it was like, go through, you know, flip the thing, reverse in, get the carts, come around. And it was like, I put 17 seconds on the clock and it was like, gold's 9. And I'm like, you know what? I'm never going to enjoy this. Yeah. I did it a few times and wasn't even getting close. And I'm like, this is the kind of puzzle game / time-based racing thing. I'm like, this just is never going to be a Greg game.
1,000%. Yeah, there was one level I did that was, they had bridges that were building upward. And so you would go, well, actually it was like an elevator bridge situation where you would go to it, grab the cargo that was on the first floor, back up into the elevator, raise the elevator, go forward to like hit the button to then unlock a track, and then come back, grab the cargo, and then get to the middle, raise the elevator. And you're doing that back and forth. And I kid you not, I was doing that for maybe 30 minutes for a track that I was trying to aim for under a minute or under 30 seconds on the timer.
Yeah.
And I did that over and over and over again, probably like 20 different times trying to get this thing right. And I just couldn't stop. It's really fun and really addicting. If you have like that kind of brain or enjoyment for puzzle games, it's a really good time.
Janet, have you touched Trin or have you thought about it?
No, I haven't played it yet. I want to, though. I've known about it for a long time. It's something they've been tooling with for quite a while, at least like a couple of years. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely have plans to do like some type of Dreams Final Hurrahs. And I know like the game's still available and you can still play it and you can still do all this stuff. But it's like ain't gonna hit the same as it used to, you know what I mean? And this will definitely be one of the ones that I end up hitting up, but I have not dipped into Dreams in a while. It does sit on my dash kind of permanently because it's just fun to search stuff and see what pops up. But yeah, I'll check it out. We'll see. I do like that it at least has, based on what y'all are saying, that kind of quick flow.
Sure.
Where you either fuck with it or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, I love a game where it's like, I can make that decision quickly. And yeah, we'll see where I land. I feel like it'd be something that speaks to me, but I have not gotten my hands on it yet.
I want to double back, Bless, because you said, we gave him some shit. So PlayStation, not Media Molecule, PlayStation for finally putting this out, but it's nice to time it with Trend. My whole argument is that I just wish they had done it earlier to get more people in there so they could have seen the cool shit Media Molecule was doing.
Yeah.
Trend is awesome, don't get me wrong, but I still feel this is so late in the game when you miss out now on the impies. You miss out on the creative like weeks they do where they do, you know, it's like DreamsCon.
Yeah.
Like they did so many cool things that were like, hey, we are a vibrant community that is being supported by Media Molecule. And now PlayStation's like, cool, Media Molecule will no longer be doing those things. The game, yeah, is still there. It's complete. You can create, all the things are there. I'm sure the community is going to stick with it and make a lot of stuff, but it still feels like, oh man, like I wish. It almost feels like the owners of the house have left the party. You know what I mean? Like, you came there to somebody's birthday party, but they've already gone home.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'm going to have a good time and hang out and eat the leftover cake or whatever, but I wish I was hanging out with that person.
For me, it's that, but, like, you got there at the right time to sing happy birthday, and then they left right after the say happy birthday.
Sure.
Okay. Right?
Wait, where are they leaving? Like, they're going to sleep?
Because they're just tired. They're tired.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got a baby. The babysitter can't stay all night. They got to get
exactly. But, yeah.
I feel like that is when you have to leave, though. You know what I mean?
I
don't poke holes in the goddamn analogy, all right?
I'm just saying, like,
I wouldn't be so totally, but
I now understand why they timed this with Trend, because, like, yeah, Trend is a game that you want to get in people's hands, and if
but also they've done other games in there,
yeah,
you know, they
but like this
have
is
dropped other I mean I think Trend
one.
Is definitely,
if you want to get this in people's hands, you should have figured out how to make it a standalone client and put it right on the dashboard.
God, I would love that.
Why do we never figure that out, at least to promote games, you know what I mean, to have it be that?
I think in general, I still, much like Greg, I hold a lot of frustrations for how Dreams went down.
Yeah,
just because it is so cool, and it's like the cool thing I can never fucking get anyone to buy. Like, I don't think I've sold one copy of Dreams, you know, not that we always talk about how criticism and the content we do doesn't actually move the needle in either direction. Like, saying a game is shit, like, it's going to sell what's going to sell. Saying it's amazing, it's going to sell what's going to sell. But, you know, on a more, what's the word, like, casual level, like, I'll have people say, oh, I did this, or like, hey, I picked up this game that you recommended. I feel like with Dreams, I have never gotten anybody to buy it. People are just like, you know, that sounds cool, but like, how much is it? No, like, I don't know what it is, what's in the water, but no one wanted to buy this game from my small kind of little circles and things. And I think it was just such an uphill battle to get it onboarded. Anyway, I don't want to drag it down too much. It's cool that Trend is dope. There's a lot of dope shit in Dreams, you know. Blessing, you did a whole Blessing show on highlighting creations in Dreams. Like, there are so
Dreams.
Many ways to dig into stuff. So yeah, and you're in Dreams, which is still haunts me to this day. So
haunts me too. I'm still in there.
I do want a temperature check. Barrett, can you toss up the trailer for Sea of Stars? I would like to know, Janet and Bless, where you're at with this, and I'll read from the PlayStation blog. Sea of Stars is a turn-based RPG inspired by the classics. It tells the story of two children of the solstice who combine their powers of the sun and moon to perform eclipse magic. The only force capable of fending off monstrous creations of the evil alchemist known as the Fleshmancer. Developer Sabotage aims to modernize the classic RPG in terms of turn-based combat, storytelling, exploration, and interactions with the environment, while still offering a hearty slice of nostalgia and good old simple fun. I am not the turn-based RPG guy, but I am in a sense of, I do like a good modernized turn-based RPG. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have the SNES nostalgia for these kind of games so many people do, but something about this one, and I guess probably just the pedigree of Sabotage, but also the fact that Octopath and Octopath 2 I enjoyed so much, like, this one has me excited. The only thing that I'm not excited about is its release date. I wish it was out now. Of course, all these games are dropping. The PlayStation Plus games we were talking about drop Tuesday, August 15th, with the exception of Sea of Stars, which is the release date for August 29th. So it's like right there on top of Starfield, right there at the end. And so, like, I think this looks dope. I'm excited to try it. I hope it works for me. But, like, it's just, it's a game that I don't think I would normally be like, oh, that sounds great. But the way they pitch it, what Sabotage is, I'm excited for it. Janet, does it speak to you?
Yeah, this is what's tough is like this game. To play this game, I have to fight against some of my worst habits when it comes to gaming. And there's two things that really hold me back in video games. One, it's the idea of a big time commitment.
Yeah.
Like any, and that's why like I haven't done a lot of like RPGs, JRPGs, because I'm like, how long is what? And then two, like I play things more slowly, just generally, whether it's exploration, whether it's my own stupidity or struggle, like I just take longer. Like how long to beat? Double it. You know, like I made the joke of same thing for like recipes. They're like, in 5 minutes you can chop. I'm like, who the fuck is chopping this? Because I'm not chopping through all the celery and the onion and dicing it.
Chopping it.
Exactly. Like I'm like, this needs to. I need the normie version of it, right? So that intimidates me and often deters me from playing games. And then the other thing that I struggle with is just giving it a go because I'm like, well, it's so meat, kind of like Baldur's Gate, right? Where I'm like, it's so meaty. Like, do I even want to, what's going to be the 30 minutes to an hour? Like, I need to have a hyperbolic time chamber available to really get into this. But then that never happens. And then I kick the can down and it's, I know this about myself. And I think that's the first step. Now it's like, can I make the change? So that's kind of this game. But I will say, as far as my own sensibilities, while I don't have like a super rich RPG history in a lot of ways, especially like more traditional kind of pixel art style, like something people don't know about me is I fucked super heavy with Golden Sun, like back in the day. Aww. That was like one of my favorite games. So I have, it's in there. You know what I mean? I have the capacity to love this kind of thing. So I think it being day and date with PlayStation Plus extra as well is like an added incentive. Obviously with our jobs, a lot of times we can get code, but I do kind of like, I try not to take codes for things that like, I know I'm not really going to get to, or I might not get to. So this is like a perfect storm of like, cool. I don't have to do anything on my end. I can just let it drop on extra and I can just pick it up and play it. I want to play this. I want to be the person that can actually play some of this. So we'll see what happens, but I fear for my, you know, falling into my old bad habits, but. What about you, Bless? Where are you at with this?
Yeah, like Greg mentions Starfield. For me, it's even Armored Core, right? The fact that that's
Jesus,
coming out.
Right. Yeah.
Is that a few days before? Wait,
4 days before Sea of Stars.
4 days before Sea of Stars. That's going to be real tough. Because I want to play both that and Starfield. And even if you're just a PlayStation person, there is Armored Core and then Baldur's Gate 3 if you're playing Baldur's Gate 3, sure. Right? This is just a heavy time to come out. But I think the game looks incredible. And I'm somebody who, I think I give off more JRPG energy than I actually have because like, I don't really have the Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
I don't really have like that Super Nintendo RPG nostalgia. Like I guess I'm more on the casual to medium side of it. Where like Earthbound, I really liked Earthbound, mm-hmm. but I wasn't really playing any of the Final Fantasies back then, right? And like for modern ones, I like an Undertale. I like a turn-based thing every now and then, but usually it has to have some kind of quirky weird energy, like Alive to get me in. And Chained Echo seems a bit more play it straight than any of those titles I just mentioned. But I think the art and the presentation of it looks really cool, and so I want to give it a shot. And the fact that it's coming from Sabotage and like they have talent there, I want to give it a shot for that because I think it's gonna be a really good game.
Maybe this should just be like my job because you're gonna be all in on Armored Core, and I'll be honest, like I'm gonna pick it up, but I don't know where Armored Core is gonna take me. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like it might not take me that far, so I could use that Armored Core time to play Sea of Stars theoretically. But back to the art really quick too, like it does look incredibly beautiful. Like there was with the footage Barrett pulled up, like a moment where they were like going down like a river and they were all like spinning, and I'm like, that's just so cute. Like I don't know, like I really want to check it out, but we'll see if I can get out of my own way, which is kind of a theme, like an ongoing theme in my life a little bit.
What else happened in PlayStation this week, Bless?
Sony has delayed several first-party PlayStation games out of the fiscal year. This is Michael Larry at PlayStation Lifestyle. Sony has a few big games planned for 2023, like Marvel's Spider-Man 2 and Helldivers 2. But according to a recent financial report, it sounds like there were a few more that were planned for 2023 or early 2024 that have been delayed. As spotted by Kotaku's Ethan Gotch, Sony's latest financial report has a section dedicated to the forecast for the rest of the fiscal year, which ends on March 31st, 2024. While decreased spending and increased sales of DLC and third-party games were listed as positives, the final bullet point lists, quote, impact of changes in the launch dates of a portion of first-party titles as a negative. The report doesn't get into specifics, meaning it could be any number of unannounced titles. It also specifies that there's more than one with its use of, quote, launch dates and titles with S's at the end of the word. There are a few possible culprits, too, like the rumored The Last of Us Part II PS5 upgrade, Horizon Zero Dawn remake, or Fire Sprite's Twisted Metal.
Which, you remember the Horizon Zero Dawn remake? Remember that was, we heard about that and then just nothing?
Remember Fire Sprite's Twisted Metal? which, given the success of Last of Us, Sony might have wanted to position somewhat around the Peacock show. It's possible that Stellar Blade might be included in this group. Sony Interactive Entertainment is publishing the title, but it is being developed by Shift Up, a third-party studio. Stellar Blade was announced for 2023, but hasn't gotten a new trailer since September 2022. Greg, where is Stellar Blade?
That's a great question. There's a few games like that floating around. You're like, whatever, yeah, okay, well, whatever. This is one of those, like, read into and look to as much as you want to. Great find by Ethan, right? But what were those games? You start really, I think you can spiral out of control pretty quickly, and then you're like, oh, this makes sense with, like, Last of Us Part 2, PS5, Horizon, Twisted Metal. Yeah. Let alone, like, did Factions count? Was that one of the ones they were putting in
yeah,
there?
But, like, was Factions going... I guess, yeah, when they put this in the report of we have games that are shifting out of 2023/early 2024
yeah, fiscal year,
into the next fiscal year, is that when were those decisions made? Is this an update to the previous fiscal year? Because in that case, it could be really anything. Yeah. Or is this a thing that, oh yeah, we've decided on this in the last couple of months? Because in that case, I think it becomes a more interesting conversation of, oh, what was going to hit before March? Because yeah, I think a Last of Us Part II director's cut could make sense. I think Stellar Blade could make a lot of sense because I don't think that game's coming out this year. Yeah. Just based on the fact we haven't heard anything about it.
We're
already in August. I could see that game coming out in a, let's say, spring to summer of next year, just based on how little we've heard. But there's a lot of things that can make sense here. I'd be a little surprised if it's Horizon Zero Dawn remake. I'd be a little surprised if it was Twisted Metal, just given that that game went from the Destruction All-Star Studio and then give
that seems like that's a bigger Sprite project, right?
Yeah, so that feels like a, well, if that happened a couple years ago, I don't know if that's gonna be ready, if they thought that was gonna be ready by this fiscal year. But I don't know, we'll have to see what PlayStation's 2024 ends up looking like. Janet, what do you think PlayStation's 2024 ends up looking like?
Oh god, that's such a loaded question. I feel like that could be its own episode. It's so tough because so many, like, if we look at this article, right, that's kind of highlighting what the delays maybe are, or what they might consider, so many of those, I'm like, I don't know if we're seeing that next year. Like, the Horizon Zero Dawn remake, I have no idea. That could drop whenever, anytime, 8 years from now, 2 years from now. Either way, it will never make as much sense as I think it does to PlayStation to remake that game because it's not that old. But
get it on the box.
It's
PS5 box,
it's
so when they watch it on Amazon, right? Yeah, they have,
yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it just... And then if you want to coincide the Twisted Metal thing, again, the Peacock show, like, already came out, and then again, the Twisted Metal thing had the change in teams, so it's probably, like, a little bit in a struggle spot. I have no idea. I mean, I think... Because I'm like, Wolverine, that's, like, too soon, too, I feel like. But I don't know. Insomniac, I mean,
it's Insomniac. They can do anything.
Insomniac, yeah.
They got superpowers. Nice.
Like, could it be that, like... I don't know. If I had to, I like, I'm not prepared to really answer that. Yeah. I guess I'll throw out Wolverine. I'll throw out.
See, I thought about this because we were talking about
GamesCast, yeah,
and GamesCast. We've been talking about it a lot, and like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I think the big hitter either has to be Wolverine or Death Stranding 2. Sure. I think we might be underrating the ability for Death Stranding 2 to come out next year because the last one came out in 2019. That was a while ago.
It was a while ago,
and that game Death Stranding took like 4 years to develop, 3 years, like in that range.
It went faster, I remember, than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, it went sure real fast because Kojima shook hands with Andrew House in December of 2015, and then that game came out in 2019. So if that's the case, yeah, I could see Kojima putting out a thing next year, right? Maybe that being Death Stranding 2, maybe that being the big title. That or Wolverine, the Concord is slated for next year, and then Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I think Let's not forget Concord.
The PvP, not extraction one. That's not extraction. You're extracting in Marathon, not in Concord.
And then in Fair Games,
it's PvP.
But it's PvP, and not extraction, but it is bank heists. Yes. Or money heist.
I'm extracting heist. Money. I'm heisting.
Concord, who knows what it is. But I think between that handful of games...
Couldn't be any clearer. We've talked about what it would be.
But with between Rebirth, Concord, and Death Stranding, and Wolverine, that's a year right there. Like, you can even like leave Wolverine out, and I think you still have a PlayStation year. We could get a PSVR 2 game out of PlayStation Studios.
Could we?
We get Little Devil Inside.
Finally. Jesus Christ, what's up with that game?
Yeah, what is up with Little Devil Inside? But yeah, I think between those and between rumors of the potential of GTA 6 coming out next year, like that was one thing that me and Tim talked about too, is that like maybe as PlayStation, get out the way of GTA 6. If GTA 6 is coming out in the fall, you probably don't even need a first party game in the fall. Just hold it.
You think GTA 6 coming in the fall?
You think it's possible?
I mean, I hope so.
I mean, the latest.
I wish I remembered. I predicted when GTA 6 would come out. And I don't remember what year I guessed.
It's either in the fall or it's coming out in the spring, according to the financial projections from Take-Two. Okay. Because they say that, like, oh, yeah, we're expecting our best financial year ever, basically, in the next fiscal year. And everybody's like, huh,
what could possibly do that?
Yeah. And so I'll think next fall for GTA because I don't see that as a spring thing.
Okay.
But
we'll I hope see. So.
For now, let's talk about our picks for PlayStation.
Picks.
The drop this week. We got Quake 2. Is that for real?
Yeah. Came out today.
Oh, we got Quake 2.
You want me to give you the rundown read of
it? Sure.
Let me open my press release.
We also got Stray Gods and Atlas Fallen.
I started Stray Gods.
Yeah.
This is the musical game. Rahul, Travis, Laura. Travis, right? Troy's in it for sure. Laura, yeah. Ashley. And I was like, yeah. And it's like, okay, cool. And I stayed, and I was like, the music didn't really hit for me. Mm-hmm. And it's about, you know, the whole gods on. And I'm like, I did a night of it and I never came back.
Me and Tim pretty much did the exact same thing where
yeah.
I, weirdly enough, I did like four different nights of it, but all those nights were me playing the same segment of the, like the opening of the game.
Now it's going to click for me.
I kept fucking up my save situation.
Ow.
Oh.
I started it and was like, I started it, played the first hour or so, and then I booted it up at work and then realized that at home I had played the PS4 version, not the PS5 version.
Oh my God.
So I was like, oh, I'll just redo it as the PS5 version. Did that. Went home, wanted to play more, realized that the save didn't carry over for whatever reason in the cloud. So I was like, oh, I'll just do it again and then play more. And I caught up again and was like, I'm not feeling it. And then when I got back to work, I was like, all right, now I'm going to pick up from where I left off. And I accidentally deleted my save.
So now are you just done? You're like, I've tried enough.
I tried enough. And also, I just wasn't feeling it in that first hour. Like, I'm with you that the music wasn't doing it for me. And, like, the story seemed interesting, but there weren't enough hooks in there for me, right? It starts off as a murder mystery situation. And the stuff that they set up, I'm like, all right, this is cool, but I'm not in it. Like, there's nothing in here that's really pulling me in.
Yeah.
It seems like it's from here, I can imagine it being more of a standard. All right, let's bring in all these Greek gods and have them play their role that they usually are as Greek gods and stuff.
Janet, do you play or care to play?
I always
you see that?
This is gonna sound so mean, so I'm gonna try to be tactful when I say this. I never believed in this game. Something about it, like the second I saw it, I'm just like, I don't think this is gonna hit. And maybe it's because I've been burned by a lot of indie music games. Again, we talk about We Are OFK Lives in My Head Rent Free because I did not enjoy that game. I never believed in it.
This close to greatness.
When I saw Bless drafted it, I was like, I don't think that game's going to be good, Blessing. And I mean, honestly, fair. He got a couple points, though, off of it. He got like 8 points, which I'm surprised by. Because everyone I talked to is like, did anyone else not really like this game? And everyone's like, yeah. Like, I don't, like, its scores are reflected more positively than what I hear from,
well,
like,
the general
my
sentiment
peers
you're
and
seeing.
Friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, which, like, you know, that's fair and fine. Like, there's a lot of different people putting out reviews and content. And
sure.
For what's worth, I do know some people that are, like, they got into the murder mystery of it. But this was one where I didn't believe in it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait for this to come out. And if people are telling me it's John Blaze, then I'll pick it up. And so far, no one has. So I'm like, great. Save some time. there we go.
It's doing way better than the last case of Benedict Fox. And so I'll take that. It has a 79.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. Like, that's the thing. Like, you got some rough picks. But I'm going to let you do your thing because I'm not trying to have the competition. And I got Greg fucking breathing down my neck every 2 seconds.
I've talked about this before. Is that Snow White Mike fucked me on the last case of Benedict Fox because he did a preview or something. And I was like, hey, how is it? And he was like, oh, it's
I don't
great.
Think he even did a preview. They did just like a stream kind of showing the gameplay for 5 minutes.
And he made it seem like it was like the best thing ever. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, he's seen it, so I'm going to trust him. And fucked me.
He'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, he'll say greatest thing ever. Oh, just man. Like Andy
See,
says,
blessing.
Everything is the event of a lifetime.
If you had watched my stream where I streamed that game from NextFest, you would have knew that shit did not hit. Because I was playing it, and I'm like, bro, does anyone else not like this game? And I was really looking forward to it before because the vibes are incredible.
I'm not going to lie. The fantasy draft is starting to get down to a stressful place. I mean, obviously, it's between me, Greg, and Game Honest is here. Like, nobody else stands a chance.
XCast, get out of here.
XCast isn't even playing this game. But between the three of us...
I can't wait for Lies of P to come out so I can take my L and keep walking, because I'm so tired of having that.
Last thing is, like, on each of our things, you can see the wins and losses. And yeah, Lies of P being your counterpick is going to screw you for sure.
Yeah.
But then also, I still have... I still have fucking Hollow Knight Silksong on my list with just the hope. They haven't officially delayed it out of this year
yet. You have Sea of Stars, too, right? Is that you?
I have Sea of Stars, yeah. Screen?
That's really... I think Sea of Stars definitely is good. I'd be Cocoon. Shocked if that's below an 80. I think it'll be low 80s, at least.
Like I think 84. Sea of Stars is going to be good. I think Cocoon's going to be good. Football Manager is going to be like an 80 or whatever. And then we'll see how Helldivers 2 is. We'll see if Ghost Runner 2 comes out this year.
I was shocked that you put God Helldivers 2, because I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that's going to...
Greg liked the first one so much.
I did.
I trust Greg.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you how will that carry
you seem
over
like you're point. Trusting a lot of people, and we'll see where that trust takes you. I don't know.
I trusted Troy Baker with Stray Gods, and it worked out for me. 79.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, honestly, that, like, at a certain point, you just want to get points on the board. Anyway, I got my own stresses.
We'll see
where it lands.
I talked about what I picked to play on PlayStation, because I picked Tren. Greg, what you picked to play?
I would, is back to this whole, like, you know, I'm not usually the turn-based RPG guy, right? I have WrestleQuest, the review code, on Steam Deck. I had played it on my flight back, and then we did a stream here. The stream was sponsored, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But even before then, on the Steam Deck on the flight, and what I had seen from previews years ago, I was like, man, this game seems like awesome and up my alley in terms of all these wrestling references, being a bunch of action figures, you know, da-da-da-da. And what I played on the Steam Deck, I was like, yes, this is awesome. And it was very much a conscious decision of, like, I played it, you know, coming back from SummerSlam, so I was playing on Sunday. Our stream was Monday. The game came out on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I was like, I will wait for the PlayStation code. And then Monday night they announced we actually have to delay the game to August 22nd. And I was like, fuck. Cause now I'm like in this weird place of, I really want to play more, but I don't want to, I want to get trophies for it. And I want to do that thing. But they were saying on our stream, 80 hours if you did all the side quests, 40 hours if you did main quests. So that's like another huge game. So I was like, am I really ever going to run roll credits on this? But I'm like, no, I'm going to stay strong. Wow. And not play it till PlayStation. But then it's going to be August 22nd, and we will be on the eve of Starfield, and I will say I won't play that because of the X, Y, and Z. So it's just a depressing section right there. But I'm excited for that to get there eventually. Oh, God, no, he's not here, is he?
Back? Is he coming back?
Okay, no, they're not playing the music.
The red lights.
And so then yesterday I made, we had a night school in, just because they're cool, to start my final quote run of Oxenfree 2 to get my platinum on it. And last night at midnight, I... ended it with one trophy left. You know, I got to get the Olivia ending. And the thing happened and the epilogue started and the trophy didn't pop. And I was like, motherfucker. And I went and read what I was supposed to do and I screwed something up. Mm-hmm. So I have to do one more playthrough of Oxenfree.
Oh, no.
But I started with 9 trophies to do. Now I have 1. So it's fine. I don't have to. You're right.
You don't have to.
But I really do love Oxenfree too. Me and Janet are big fans. So it's like, this is not torture. This is not me playing a bad game. This is me just playing a game I really do enjoy. So even... last night I had another ending to get and I went and I did that and I was like very interested in seeing it. When I got all the collectibles, there's a secret collectible you get and then that gives you even more story. I was like, okay.
Also, like, I need a just intrusive thoughts just popped in. Tell me why too, because I'm like, oh yeah, I drafted Oxenfree 2 and like it's fucking great. Why is it like, I think one or the same points as Stray Gods. I feel like the system is broken, but whatever.
You knew it was going to be tough, man. Oxenfree 2, following up Oxenfree 1.
I did know that, like, that's not even it. I'm not shocked, but I am like, it is funny when you look at it.
I do know that you two are on the higher end of how Oxenfree hit for a majority of people.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, 100%. But I don't get why. That's the thing. Like, I can, like, you know what I mean?
Like, y'all are fucked up. That's why.
I don't know. Y'all don't have enough trauma. Like, you don't see how it hits. Like, I don't know. But people have, they never really score that well. So I'm not.
When the comment about the eggs happened in this replay, Janet, I was like, made me think of you.
Right? I know.
The secret of Fantasy Critic, too, and for Metacritic and Open Critic, is that, like, the less people that review a thing, I think the higher it is. If it's, like, a thing that's good, if it's trash, then it's going to do bad. But, like, when you have 5 reviews and, like, they're good reviews, I feel like they tend to be on the higher side. I think more people reviewed Oxenfree than Stray Gods.
We can... Yes, you are right. But, like, I don't know. We'll do the whole dissection when
right,
I'm
right now, Baldur's Gate
3
is, like, the best review game of all time.
With my fucking trophy, which is hopefully larger than last year, because last year's was kind of tiny. Come on, Greg, get it together.
Sorry. I'm trying to keep a whole goddamn business afloat. It doesn't mean I'm getting all these... you know what? I have been getting served the thing for...
Really? Because like, you're just getting hit in the head with chairs. So I feel like you have a
it
time.
It was a guitar. Okay. I feel like
if you, if you have guitar time, you have trophy ordering.
So here's
time.
Here's
know.
Something I'll ask you, Janet, as the current Fantasy Critic Showdown champion there. I have been getting served ads a lot on TikTok for championship belts for fantasy drafts.
Ooh.
Do you like the idea of a fantasy belt? Or we get a belt and then we just trade it every year? Whoever has it for the year?
I could get with the belt, but I kind of like having the idea of eventually having a fuck ton of these as well.
Yeah,
so that's the only thing.
I understand that. I respect that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm going to get
it
this
year. Maybe
do
both, but you get like a little trophy and then you get the belt. The belt rotates you know? Or whatever. What is the...
Who is realistically fucking... thinks going to win this year? Like between the three of us.
Me. Oh, for me. Me for sure.
I think I'm going to win barely.
Because I still think I have a really good chance of winning.
Why is that?
Kindoffunny.com/... That's true.
I mean,
Ghost Runner 2 is definitely going to do numbers.
If you want to see KF League 2023, if you want to see and follow along. If you don't know our whole fantasy critic thing, PS I Love You versus X Games.
Like, I think I'm good because what? Replace is not coming out. Let's be real. And if it comes out, who says this thing is going to be good? Paris saw one trailer and lost his mind. But between that, Cocoon's going to be great. Sea of Stars is going to be great. Hollow Knight Silk Song could come out, but if it's not, if it doesn't come out, I'll get rid of it and pick something else.
What else is left, Bless?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not a lot left.
I don't know, man. Do any of you guys have Mario RPG?
Greg does.
Yeah. Oh. Greg does.
What about?
He's got Wonder.
Do you have Sonic Superstars?
I got Wonder.
Nobody trusts that game. Nobody believes that.
Oh, I trust Sonic Superstars.
Okay. Well,
Sonic Superstars. That's your lane. Like, I can't even comment on it. I have no idea.
I will say Janet still has Super Mario Brothers Wonder left, Gunbrella, and Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased
his
name.
Those are good games.
Which are going to get her, I would imagine, like, Wonder is going to be up in the 90s, I imagine. Maybe high 80s. Gunbrella, I think, is promising, like, maybe somewhere in the 80s as well.
I think
like
86 for Gunbrella.
Like a Dragon, I would say, is probably around the same in 86. I feel like the Yakuza games usually, outside of Yakuza...
I feel like it's a spinoff, though. It's going to be
Ishin
like...
only got me 11 points. But I do think Gaiden's going to be above 80, but maybe not by a lot. But it will be at least 80 points. Like, I'd be shocked if it was
That's another 40 points, at least, for Janet for the rest of the year. And those are only three games, and you still have two spots open there. Whereas Greg, like, I'm looking at your list now.
I know, I got some problems still.
I think you're tapped out,
honestly,
outside of
Super Mario. I will lose
16
points, I think,
though, Mario.
On Lies of P. I think Lies of P will get an 86, and I will lose 16 points as a result.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we'll wait and see. Like, Janet, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of stuff. I'm playing Kingdom Hearts still. I'm working on the Platinum for Miles Morales, and I started Time on Frog Island.
How's Frog Island?
Frog Island's cool. You know, it's funny. I'm looking at the Metacritic and like a lot of people do not fuck with this game. But like I am a couple minutes in. I'm trying to like, you know, decompress. I had a lot of stressful shit go down. I'm like, I need to like chill out. So I went on, I think just our shared library, like what games Isaiah has or maybe just PS Plus. And I saw Time on Frog Island and I was like, hell yeah. And it's like a really chill kind of exploration game where you like wash up on Frog Island. I'm like super early.
I love frogs.
Like, 10 minutes. Yeah, it's super cute. Like the first thing you do is like there's no text. It's like speech bubbles or thought bubbles. So like you walk up to the painter guy and he's like has the thought of like, I don't know, some fucking plant or something, and you want like the shit he's painting. So you like carry the plants and give it to him, and then he gives you something. So it's kind of like a little exchangey game. Definitely too early for me to be like, oh, resounding go get this, but
sure.
I'm enjoying it so far. It's cute. It's well animated. It's got some nice little exploration things going on. And then, yeah, you know, Kingdom Hearts is Kingdom Hearts. I am a fuck 10 hours in, I feel like, at this point. I've done 5 Let's Plays of it at about like 3 or 4 hours a piece. And I just finished the Aladdin area for the first time, because you go back to the areas a lot. It's still going good. It's become more frictionless over time. Now that, like, okay, I kind of know what's going on. I know the bullshit of some of the design. I'm still getting lost sometimes, but it's not as bad as it was in those opening hours. And, you know, I'll talk more about it week to week here and there as I approach finishing it. But genuinely, it is a much more enjoyable time than I expected. I enjoy my time with this game. I like this game. I do think it's one that you have to recommend with caveats, because there are so many things that bother me about Kingdom Hearts. But at the end of the day, like, I can't front, and I don't consider myself like a Disney stan. But when I opened up that fucking book, and you could walk into, it turned into fucking Plucky Squire. And you, which I know this is older than Plucky Squire, but you know, like, go bear
totally,
with me.
Yeah,
like,
well, take a walk. It's the thing we're all so impressed of with Plucky. Yeah.
Exactly. You walk into the book, and then who the fuck do you see? Winnie the Pooh. I've never been so excited to see this bear in my whole fucking life. And it was funny because I was telling Isaiah that story, and he's like, "Okay, now picture that, but you're 8." And I'm I know why this shit ate back in the day. And like, so yeah, like, you know, it's been a good time. I'm enjoying it so far. We'll see how things go.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of PS I Love You XOXO, your PlayStation podcast. Remember, of course, you can support us on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Get each and every episode ad-free as a video and MP3. You can watch us record the show live just like the rest of our podcasts. You can get cool merch. You can get more than 300 episodes of exclusive content only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But if you got no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. New episode each and every Friday. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. We love you. Don't PC game, not even once. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.